Yeah.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Lavender Fix podcast. I'm your host, Sabreen Hazik, and today I have with me Aisha Patterson from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Aisha is a wife, a mom of four, who was recently diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 30. Aisha is passionate about educating women on self-care and raising awareness around breast cancer, and she's also the creator of Walking on Cancer 21 Movement, a movement that essentially encourages cancer survivors to write cancer on the bottom of their shoes on World Cancer Day and walk all over cancer. Today, we talk all about Aisha's life-altering experience and how far she has come in her cancer recovery journey. Hello, Aisha. Welcome to the Lavender Squad. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Sabreen. How are you?
I'm good. I was really excited to wrap up work today because I knew I was going to connect with you. And so this is like my end day treat.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me here. Like, this is so exciting.
Oh my God. Thank you for taking the time out to be with this stranger, basically, who you know for only like, I think, 48 hours now.
Well, you're nice. So this is definitely a pleasure.
Yay. My mother would disagree, but thank you. Okay. So Aisha, we've not known each other for a very long time, but there was just... there's just something about you where I even said this to you earlier, I felt very drawn to you. It was almost like we were meant to be friends. And so I, just had so many questions even when I first came across your profile, and I didn't know how to ask you those questions, right? Because it can get tricky in these situations. You don't really know what is the right thing to say. And so I guess today I'm going to make up for all of that and ask you a ton of questions around your inspiring journey. So how do you feel about that? Ready?
I am so ready. So ready for it.
Awesome. Okay. So Aisha, when I was going through your profile and also through some of our initial conversations, you told me that you were diagnosed with cancer in 2019. And so I'm just curious to know, what was life like before you were diagnosed with cancer?
Life was just so easy. It's really interesting, like looking back, because I think I had no worries. I mean, I had worries, but they weren't like this. But I am a mom and a wife of, or a mom of four and a wife. And so we were really busy. My kids were in sports. I volunteered at their schools. My husband, he runs his own business. So we were really, really busy. And that was okay because we were always together for the most part. Mm-hmm. If you were in my home, you would see that we all kind of float from room to room together. Like mm-hmm. we really enjoy being together. So life was simple, even though it was busy, but it was good. It was mm-hmm. really good.
Mm-hmm. And so when did the first signs or symptoms of cancer appear? Were you feeling unwell? I'm trying to understand what made you feel like something was amiss.
So like physically, I felt fine, but I did find a lump. And so that was what alarmed me that something might be going on. Mm-hmm.
And this was just like, random, how did it happen in that moment?
So I was breastfeeding my son, Solomon. He's my youngest. I think mm-hmm. he was around 6 months old at the time. Mm-hmm. And I just came across a lump, but like no self-exam. I've never done one of those before. Mm-hmm. Just felt it from breastfeeding him. But I breastfed four kids, so it really didn't seem like anything weird. I was just like, I'll deal with this when I deal with it.
Yeah. And that must be hard because you were only 6 months postpartum. Your body is already going through so much.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So since you were feeling physically fine, and you probably initially felt like there's no reason to go see a doctor yet, how long did you actually wait before you finally went in for a checkup?
I want to say, I mean, it was at least 4 months, but I think it may have even been longer than that. And there were so many reasons. Like, of course, looking back now, I'm like, dude, why did you not just go sooner? But at the time, like, I just didn't think that it could be cancer, like that I could actually be in this position. So, and then additionally, I didn't have insurance. And so I'm like, I don't want to go into the doctor for them to just tell me, hey, you know, it's just a clogged milk duct, no big deal. I mean, because I truly thought like there's no freaking way.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask you, did you think at all that it could be cancer?
Nope, not at all.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And there's no history of cancer in your family at all?
No, not at all. I did genetic testing and I didn't and at least I don't have the gene mutation at all. Mm-hmm. So it was, completely out of the blue.
Yeah. And not having insurance in America can be very intimidating.
Absolutely.
I totally hear you. I mean, I mock myself sometimes when I go to the dentist. I recently went to the dentist to get my two wisdom teeth removed. The same thing could have cost me like 1/4 the amount back home in India. Seriously.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
It really is. And I mean, for me, I would have had to pay like my actual, the doctor and all of his bills, and then plus the referral for and all the mammogram, all that. I mean, it really adds up. And I remember like calling organizations just to see if they had free mammograms. And I had the hardest time finding any resources to free mammograms. Mm-hmm.
And so now another question that I'm just curious, because I'm not sure if it happens with you. It definitely happens with me. Obviously, you didn't know you had lumps before that moment when you realized that there is something here. Right. And when you realize that there's something there, your body then starts to behave in a way where you then actually feel the discomfort even when you weren't before. So were those lumps causing any discomfort once you realized that they were there?
Yeah. And it's a really weird sensation. Like it's not painful, but it's like almost like something kind of radiates off it. I don't know. It's such a weird sensation, but I honestly don't even remember feeling that until two more lumps showed up. And when they did, I was like, okay, this is weird. Like I definitely need to go
get a checkup. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was when you really felt like, okay, this needs to be checked out.
Yes, for sure.
So tell me what happened next. You obviously went in for your first appointment. What happened there?
At the first appointment, that was just with like my general medicine doctor. And, you know, she did the exam. She was like, you definitely need to get this checked. Had the referral. And then from there, I went to the main breast center and had a mammogram and ultrasound and biopsy.
Okay. That is... even when someone tells you need a mammogram and an ultrasound, you know, it just feels a little like, why do I need those two?
Exactly.
Right? So you went to this breast center and so what happened there when you went in for your mammogram and ultrasound?
And you're so right. Like you're kind of in there like, okay, what am I going to, why are you making me do this next part and this
exactly.
next part? But yeah, I had the mammogram, you know. No big deal. Go out in the lobby. And she's like, okay, we want you to come back for do the ultrasound next. And so again, that feeling of like, is this like routine or like, why am I doing this? Do the ultrasound. I'm laying on the table and I just feel like really odd. Like the energy in the room just really shifts. And the nurse, she goes and gets the doctor. Doctor comes in and she's like, you know, we are definitely concerned about these. We found two more lumps, one on your armpit and one, you know, in your arm. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, the tech lady, she's just kind of like rubbing my leg and trying to soothe me because I feel like she knew that something was up, but she just didn't, you know, she couldn't say. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was just I'll never forget that experience. It was so eerie. Like in that moment, I truly knew in my gut that something was definitely off. Mm.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, that specific thing that you just talked about, where you said that this lady, she was caressing you. Clearly, you know, she didn't want to say it, but she probably knew what was going on.
For sure.
Right? So, you know, why did you feel, what were you thinking when this energy shifted? And it was right after your scans. What was going through your mind?
I was just so like, I don't know. I just went into such a weird place and such a, looking back, a really lonely place, because I don't think anybody really understood the depths of the anxiety that I was going through. Because it, I mean, there was always that chance that it wasn't cancer, but of course there always was that it was. It was really hard for me to just do like, pay attention, you know, it just kind of followed me for a while. So I don't know. It's crazy. Like even saying that, I just realized like I was really lonely then. Like I really didn't have anybody to lean on as I was going through that part.
Right. And then, so once you found out that obviously they were concerned and the tests were not normal, the results, did your brain then signal that it could be cancer?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, at that point, like every scenario is playing in my head. Like they're going to tell me it's cancer. Like my life is going to change. But even like the worries that I had, it's so crazy. They don't even touch what I'm actually dealing with because it's so much worse. And that sounds terrible, but it is what it is. Like this, it's so much harder than I even imagined it would be.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine. So what happened after that, after they told you that these are not normal?
So do you mean like, so yeah, when we found out that they were positive for cancer, I mean, it was like such a flip, like our whole life literally changed in that moment and it'll never go back to being the way that it was. But I got the results and she, you know, told me it was positive for cancer. I remember she was very in depth about, you know, all of the results and trying to tell me all this information. And I could not focus at all. Like I'm literally falling apart. It was a really, really, that was a really hard experience.
Yeah, of course. So wait, after your scans, did they ask you for a biopsy? I'm assuming they said you need to get your biopsy done.
Yes. So that was the next part after those.
Gotcha. So yeah. Did you like, I know that, you know, once you get a test, like a biopsy done, you don't get the results right away.
Right. So it takes 2 days to get the results about. Mm-hmm. And we were like, I didn't want her to like call me and give me the results because I could be at the park with my kids, you know, hanging out or whatever. So we went in to get them from her, to get them like face to face.
And what was, you know, going through your mind during that week when you were waiting for the results? Were you over-researching? Were you, you know, growing paranoid by the day? What were you experiencing?
I was Googling like what cancer looks like on an ultrasound. I was, you know, researching, even though everyone was like, don't research, it's fine. But I would like Google all of the medical words in the results. And yeah, it was hard because every time I did, it was like a dagger. I'm like, this is really leading towards it's cancer.
Mm. And yeah. How was your husband responding to you stressing out during the week before you got your results? What was his reaction? What was he feeling?
He was so like, he just didn't understand what I was going through at all. So he was like, why are you freaking out? Like, why are you, you know, so anxious and this and that. And I remember like us kind of having a discussion, like, do you understand the amount of anxiety and stress that I'm facing right now? Like I literally could have cancer. And he just was like, oh, seriously? Like that's what you're worried about? So yeah, he was kind of in his own world and didn't even know that I was struggling as badly as I was. And that's why I say, like, I feel like I was so alone in that time.
So he was definitely like, this cannot be cancer. There's no way.
Pretty much. Yeah. Right. I mean,
And you know, Aisha, that could be his way of coping.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe not that he wasn't trying to understand where you were coming from, but maybe he just was in denial that no, it can't be.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like all of us do that in some ways. Mm-hmm. We tell ourselves that it can't be something as a way to cope because it's exactly. too much to even swallow the thought that it could be.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you said that obviously you got the results then that it was positive. Can you describe to me where you were in the moment when the news was delivered to you? Tell me a little bit more about what exactly happened in that moment.
Yeah, so we get there. The lady that we check in and stuff, and the nurse navigator, that's what they call them, like people that give results and help you through the process. She's standing there, and you could just already kind of tell, like she was standing there almost like, is she almost here? Like, man, this is going to be a really hard part of my job. So she calls us back. We go back there, sit down, and mind you, it's COVID, so everyone's wearing masks. And she sits us down. She's so friendly, and she's like, the lumps in your breasts were positive for cancer. And I immediately get like super happy. Like I have a happy response because I thought that she said negative. Like that's what processed in my brain. Because of her mask, I couldn't see like her face. I couldn't see any of her expressions. So it seemed, but the way that her voice delivered it, I guess that's why my brain thought that. From there.
So you're saying the first time she said it, you thought she said it's negative.
Right.
Do you think it was because that's what you wanted to hear?
Yes, 100%. 100%. And I do think the masks make a huge difference, but I think that was it.
So obviously when she gave you this news and she saw that you were smiling or you had an aha moment, she was probably confused as to why you're reacting the way that you are, right? Because she didn't know. She didn't know that you didn't hear the positive part. So how did she respond to that?
She put her hand on my hand and then she goes, no, honey. And my husband was like, Aisha, and it just immediately flipped in my brain and I was like, oh no. And then I completely fall apart right there. Yeah.
And what about your husband? How was that moment for him?
The same. I mean, we were both crying and just like a puddle. We were a mess. And it's interesting. I told him after, it all went down, I'm like, man, it would be interesting to see that all play out like on video or something. Anyway, it was just such a weird and hard moment. And my husband is not a crier. Like I think before all this, I'd seen him cry like 5 times. And now, here he is basically bawling and we're, getting the worst news of our life.
Mm. And what about your family? Did you deliver the news to them right away?
I did because they had been waiting. Everyone knew that I was going to be getting the results. And so they were basically on standby to find out. I called my mom and that was really hard. It's hard telling anybody, but she, of course, was really upset. I feel like it was a major blow to her faith because she really, just did not think, none of us did. We didn't think that it was actually going to be cancer. Then call my dad. He's out of town. He decides, I'm coming home. And this is all around Thanksgiving time. So as hard as it was, I'm so glad because my family they were all there. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it was like calling friend after friend saying, hey, I need space, but this is what happened. So I'm delivering the terrible news to my best friends, telling them I need space and I can't even comfort them. Like I can't give them more answers. It's just kind of like, dude, this is what's up. Peace out. I'll talk to you soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you, obviously when you find out, you were obviously in a very, you were in a state of shock, basically.
Right.
Right. So, but did you ask them about the stage of the cancer at all or how bad it was? What did the doctor say to you after she delivered the news? Did they give you more information around your case and how bad it was?
They did. And she was trying to be like super in depth and just telling me all about like financial assistance because, again, I didn't have insurance at that time. She's giving me so much information and I can't remember barely anything that she said. I was like she'd ask me a question and I wouldn't respond, you know, cause I was, or, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. So my husband was having to write stuff down. At one point he turned on his phone recorder so that we could get all the information, but be mm-hmm. able to listen to it later, which we never did, but mm-hmm. yeah.
So what did you do right after you found out your results? Did you head home? Did you go to work or elsewhere? What did you do?
I went back to our office so that I could get my car and my husband could get his. And then from there, I drove and went to the chiropractor, which is so crazy to me. I just got the worst news of my life. Go to the chiropractor because I'd been dealing with a bad headache. And mm-hmm. he adjusts me, not even knowing that I had like the worst day of my, that I'm dealing with the worst thing that's ever happened to me mm-hmm. just, you know, a few minutes before being with him.
Yeah. So did you have that appointment pre-booked?
I did, okay. Which now I'm looking back, like, why would I do that?
But yeah, no, I mean, you know, maybe you needed that time, I guess, you know, it's yeah. never great to have a headache, especially when you're going through all that stuff.
That's so
it was probably a good idea. So, you know, obviously when you were in the hospital, when you got the news, it was a lot to take in. Did you have more time to process the news, you know, once you got home, back from the chiropractor? How are you feeling?
Oh man, it was such a shock. Like it took so long, I feel like, to actually, from that moment, like have a minute alone to really process. Like I feel like I would have crying spells in the closet. And I feel like that was where I worked out a lot of my grief, a lot of my anger mm-hmm. and my questions to God happened in that closet, you know? But outside of that, it was like straight into, you know, 2-3 appointments a day. Every day I had, I mean, my schedule was completely packed. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a lot of time to just process it all. But at the same time, I'm feeling it. I'm just like, I don't know what I'm feeling because my body is just in shock. I can't, mm-hmm. I can't make a decision. I don't want to eat, all the things.
Right. So in my knowledge, once they confirm that they have someone has cancer, you know, after the biopsy results, you then have to go in again for a different kind of test for them to establish what stage of cancer it is, right?
Yes, that's right.
So can you tell me a little bit more about that specific test and what happened?
Yes. Yeah, so, you have a series of tests, an MRI, a PET scan, and other appointments like meeting with your surgeon and oncologist. But for those particular ones, I had the MRI and the PET scan, I think within like 1 or 2 days of each other. And the anxiety that I faced during that time was so incredibly overwhelming because you're just like thinking that the cancer has spread. Surely mm-hmm. it's got to be everywhere because I waited so long. I started having like phantom pain. So like my head mm-hmm. was hurting, you know, in random places, or my stomach would start hurting. And I'm like, I think my stomach's been hurting for like months. Surely it's been hurting for months. And even though it had just started kind of thing, and all because I thought the cancer had spread. Mm-hmm. So that was probably the hardest week of my life, not going to lie.
So this is after the biopsy, once you went in for your MRI, PET scan and all that stuff to establish what stage of cancer. This is during that wait period, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. And so those scans tell them like if the cancer has spread to any other parts of your body, and if it has spread to other areas, that would make you automatically stage 4.
Mm-hmm. So before you went in for the scans, did you have any kind of briefing with your doctor about the possibilities?
I did. I met with my surgeon, with a surgeon the day after I had, the day after I got diagnosed. I went across the hall and met with the surgeon. And that was a really hard and interesting experience. I remember sitting in the waiting room and you just see like early detection saves lives all over the place. And I'm like, well, great. Mm-hmm. Like this is a little late now because here I am, you know, surely it's too late. Like it's stage 4. Mm-hmm. Then I have the appointment with the surgeon and she went on to tell me everything in my case. And I left there thinking that it was stage 4.
What did she say to you?
She had told me that if a certain, she told me that I, it was, they were waiting to see if it was HER2 positive. And if it was, there was always a greater chance that it could have been stage four because it could, it's an aggressive form of breast cancer. But the way that it was being said to me was just in a very, very blunt kind of way, no compassion in the tone, no, you know, sympathy or anything. I think all she had done was ask if I wanted a tissue. And here I am, literally, I'm like almost feel like I'm just slipping out of the chair. Every time she's saying something to me, it was like a bullet was just hitting me. Like, I'm just like, you know, jolting. My mom is with me. She stands up. She's crying. And I will never forget, she put her hand on my shoulder and she rose her chin and she just stood there. And it was the most beautiful thing. In that moment, I was like, I'm going to be okay. Like, my mom, I have her. Like, mm-hmm. So closely. So,
So yeah, that's really bizarre that your doctor was not very compassionate. I think a lot of the times it's so routine for them that they don't realize that, okay, it's routine for me, but getting news like that, that some, you have cancer, is not really routine for people. Right? And when they say something like it could pretty much be stage four cancer, your mind goes straight to it that, yes, that is what it is.
Yep.
So what does stage four cancer mean then?
So stage four cancer can mean that it's a terminal case. At that time, sometimes they'll say, like, I don't know, they may say address like how much in terms of time a cancer patient would have. And I don't know that if it would be at that part, but it does mean that it's terminal.
Gotcha. So given that she was not compassionate at all, did you consider switching your doctors?
Absolutely. I left there as soon as possible. And I knew in that moment, like, this is not my surgeon, because she, it was, you know, the lack of compassion that I felt. And then also, like, I don't know, it was just a really hard experience. It was traumatizing. I did not at all want to go back.
Of course.
Yeah.
So now let's talk about the day you actually got your results. Where were you? Who were you with? And of course, what did the results read?
So I got the results on a Saturday. It was so nice because it was like, you know, the end of Thanksgiving week. So all my family was going home. We like all went to breakfast and had such a great morning, said goodbye. And at this point, like, everyone's waiting for these results. My whole family, I was so anxious about it that I had asked them actually to call my mom and give them to her, because I just couldn't even bear to like hear bad news from another person that really didn't give a crap about me. Mm-hmm. But I got the results to my phone and I was literally like holding the phone, but like kind of like shaking it away from me, because I was like, can I actually handle seeing what it's about to say? So I was like almost peeking at it. And then I finally saw that it hadn't traveled. I still don't even think I could believe it, because I like had to Google, you know, to make sure, am I reading it right? But at that point, like, it was literally the happiest day of my life. And I have four kids and I've been married, but I really do feel like that was the happiest day of my life, that cancer hadn't spread. That's crazy to think, but it's so true.
No, it's not crazy at all. I mean, at some point you've been giving and giving and giving, and that one moment was yours, right?
Yeah.
So wait, you got this over text?
Yeah. So it was in, we have a thing called My Chart. So you get all your results, all your appointments, all that.
And is it in a language that a normal non-medical background person can understand?
No, not necessarily. Sometimes like it's pretty confusing, and so you kind of have to Google or like call your doctor if you don't understand. So that's what I had to do in that case.
Mm. And they did not call your mom then?
They didn't. So she said that she tried, and that my mom didn't have like her voicemail is like an operator. And since it wasn't her voice with HIPAA, they can't leave a voicemail. So at one point I did decide that I needed to be strong. I needed to get the results for myself. And so that's why I was even checking.
So who is around you at this time?
it was just my husband and my kids. And I'm like screaming at the top of my lungs, FaceTiming my friends. Like everyone is like dancing and like shouting. Like I'm like pacing. It was, oh man, it was amazing.
And how did your husband respond?
You know, that day was annoying because he had like just woken up. And when he wakes up, he's just not like, you know, overly happy, which he was. He definitely was. But he was just like in a mood. We'll say that.
Oh, yeah. That can be really annoying.
Right. I'm like, dude, this is like the best thing ever. Wake up.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't think I'm a grumpy person at all when I wake up in the morning. But yeah, it depends on who I'm talking to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I'm better, though, like if I have a chance to wake up by myself,
before you meet other people.
Exactly.
Tell me about your mom's reaction, your dad's reaction.
Oh, man. So my mom was sleeping because she works nights. And so she was sleeping, called her. She didn't answer. I call my dad. He's screaming at the top of his lungs. And they live in the same apartment complex. They're divorced, but they live across the street. They're really good friends. And so he woke up. He ran across the street and went in her house, woke her up. And they're just both on the phone screaming and just crying. We're all so happy.
Aww. Did your kids during this time sense that something was wrong with Mama?
That's such a good question. I've not even pondered that. I don't know.
They're pretty young though.
Yeah, they are. And I know like my youngest one, he didn't have any idea. My oldest boy is 7. He didn't know. And I think at that time my daughter did know already. So yeah.
How was she dealing with it?
It was a really interesting time because she knew, but her cousins were in town for Thanksgiving. And so I feel like she was really distracted with that for a long time. And so she didn't even really get to process it until like a while after they left. And then it was kind of like a ton of bricks.
Mm-hmm. So what was the next course of action after you found out that, okay, it hasn't spread? It's at a stage where it can be controlled and cured.
At that point, it's just like, it was go time. I mean, it was like meeting with the oncologist, getting the plan together, just changing my whole freaking life, literally trying to make sense of things and get people to bring, people were offering to bring us meals and help. And so just organizing all of that, it was a lot of work at the same time of like, you're dealing with all this grief.
Mm-hmm. And treatment wise, what did they say you needed?
I needed 6 rounds of chemo. It was TCHP, excuse me. And 6 rounds of chemo, then surgery, which is a double mastectomy, radiation, and 5 to 10 years of hormone therapy. And then I need 1 year of immunotherapy of 2 drugs, Perjeta and Herceptin, just to help with the HER2 factor.
Is that factor that you're talking about? What is it?
So the HER2 cancer is just like, it's a hormone driven cancer. And basically it's a lot more aggressive. But there's been a lot of developments in the last, few decades of it. And so before, if you would have got HER2 positive cancer, like it was not good. Like the prognosis was not going to be good, but there's been so many advancements in medicine that now, I mean, it targets it so well. Like now I don't even have any tumors. They've all disappeared. And I've had an excellent response to the chemo because of that.
Right. So tell me more about your chemo experience. How was that?
It was absolute freaking hell, to be honest. Absolute hell. Do not recommend, like, crap. The first time, like, you're just so anxious about, you don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And they try to teach you, have like chemo teaching and all that. But all the chemo teaching is like, don't garden because you can get an infection. When you go to the bathroom, make sure you flush twice because the chemo's in the air. Don't kiss on your babies or any, you know, for like 48 hours, you have to use a condom for 48 hours. Like, it's very intense. And so you're really worried about how this is going to flip my life upside down. And it did. I would have chemo ticks about five to 6 hours ish. And then after that, it would kick in, I think, like on day two, my symptoms would kick in: nausea, headache, fatigue. Like, you were out for the count in bed, just feeling like crap.
Yeah, no, it's hard. I've heard that, you know, you lose your, you get this metallic taste, and sometimes some of the things you really enjoy eating, you start hating them. And all that happens. So, all right. So, but do you feel like your body took it well?
I really do, honestly. Like, the first two rounds were really hard and my body was not taking it well. Like, I had a blood clot the first round. I had a nosebleed for 2 hours that sent me to the ER. Like, my body was just not doing well. Mm-hmm. And then the second round, I'd found a naturopathic doctor, and that really changed the game for me, like, a lot.
Okay, so they suggested a few vitamins and stuff like that.
Yeah, vitamins. And then I did like mistletoe treatment. I did, and I still do, acupuncture, red light therapy. What else?
And those things help?
They do. They do. They made such a difference, because when I started that stuff, then I had round three, and round three I had, and I switched to a plant-based diet, but I had no side effects. Like, the next day I was like out going for a super long walk, and like round five was hard. Round four and five, they were hard, but not even close to as hard as round one and two. Mm-hmm. And then round six, I had no side effects again at all. And round six should have been the hardest, because chemo is cumulative. It builds up in your body. So,
right.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, doctors are never really thrilled about patients eating anything, you know, supplements, or usually I know cancer patients have been advised against it, that while you're on chemo and while you're getting treatment for cancer, don't eat any vitamins or whatever. So how did your doctor respond to, you know, you still taking natural vitamins and stuff like that?
She was just really not very excited about it. Like, she didn't say that, but like her energy and her body language totally did, and even her face. And I know that she did, because when I had a nosebleed one time, I called in and she was on call. So she was helping me, because like, I could not get it to stop. And she was like, "Are you taking supplements?" And I'm like, "No." And at that time I really wasn't. But anyway, I had my list together of all the supplements I was taking, and I gave her the list, and yeah, she kind of gave me some questions about it. But at the end of the day, like, I trust the naturopathic doctor. She's been doing it for so long, and I told her that, so she wasn't going to give me anything unsafe.
Mm-hmm. So what was the verdict after the cycles were over? You know, they do a scan after all the cycles are over, right?
Yes. So I just had that, was it last week? But it said that I actually had an excellent response to therapeutic treatment. And I love that they put the word excellent in there, because, I mean, in these results, it's so bone dry. So to describe it, like, excellent, I'll take it. I will take it.
So where were you when this result was delivered?
I don't know, because now I get results so often, you know, so I just kind of, but I was really happy. It's still a little hard, because I found, a lump in the same breast. And so they were checking to see what was up with that lump, and they don't see it on MRI. But it's still there. So I'm a little nervous about that. So anyway,
it's in the same breast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, I mean, obviously you have to keep monitoring it, right? And then, so when you say that it was excellent outcome, the way that your body, what does that mean?
So that means that they can't see any tumors. All they can see is the calcifications that are left over. So I want to say, and I might be wrong, but it's like the skin or something of the tumor, it sheds and just shows that it was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see what you mean. So basically traces that this is where the cancer was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, right. I mean, that's kind of a bitch move. I'm sorry if we're not allowed to cuss on here, but
no, that's fine.
Okay. It really is like, don't leave behind any traces of yourself. Like, just get the hell out and take everything with you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand. Of course. And so what's next?
Next for me is surgery. So that's almost exactly a month away.
Oh my God. So that's next month.
Mm-hmm, May 6th.
And what happens there?
So I am going to have a double mastectomy and, I'm going to be flat at that point. So I'm going to go flat for, I think until the end of the year, and then I'll have reconstruction at that time.
I see. So they completely remove the breast?
They do. And it's kind of interesting. They don't cut them, but they make an incision and then they scoop out all the breast tissue and then go from there. Yeah.
Right. But it still deforms the area. So they have to reconstruct
completely.
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see. And have they given you any checklist for what happens after surgery?
No, they actually just called me today and told me we would do post-op stuff at my appointment on Monday. So we'll see. But I know I'll have drains and, I'll have to spend a night in the hospital. Things like that.
So looking back, I know you said that you wished that you'd gone in sooner. What do you think that would have done for you?
Oh man, just the earlier, the better in general. Like there's people that if you get in soon enough, sometimes they don't have to do chemo or they don't have to have surgery. And I'm not dismissing anyone's experience because cancer is hard no matter what, but a vasectomy versus having surgery, there is definitely a difference. And I wish I would have gone sooner to maybe, and I say I wish, but I'm learning that all things work together for good, mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So
I have two more questions that I didn't originally think of, but now that I'm thinking about your experience, did you, in terms of the side effects, did you lose your hair?
I did. I lost all of my hair.
How was that experience for you?
Oh, it was traumatic. I wanted to shave it. I wanted to have some control over the situation. I hate the feeling of hair in my hands, even prior to being diagnosed. So I wanted to cut it first, and I scheduled it. I hired a videographer, a photographer. I had friends come. It was going to be a beautiful experience. And we had a snowstorm. And so everyone couldn't come. Mm-hmm. And I had canceled it at that point. So anyway, in between the time that I had it got canceled and I was going to reshoot it, rehab everything, I decided to wash my hair. And my mom, because I was I'm going to lose my hair. I just want to have a little bit more time with it curly. And so my mom was over and I asked her to do it. And she washed my hair in the sink and it just starts falling out in handfuls. Even going through it right now in my head is just, it's hard. It was just everywhere. My friend came over. She's a hairstylist, Marissa. She's one of my sister's best friends. And I call her FaceTime crying, what do I do? She comes over and she cuts it and tries to just do the best she can with it. And there's half a Walmart sack completely full of my hair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's definitely hard. I interviewed someone who originally is from India, and she interestingly, she works in triple breast research, breast cancer research, and she was diagnosed with endometrial cancer, and she was talking about culturally how hair, it's a very huge part of a woman's life, especially in India. It's all about taking care of your hair and oiling it and all that stuff. And so she said that losing my hair was like losing my femininity, not feeling beautiful and all that stuff. And it's crazy. It may sound trivial, but it really is. You're losing a part of yourself.
Yep.
And one other question that I had, which is unrelated from this experience, but still related to your overall journey, is when you had your last chemo cycle. I saw a video on your Instagram where you walked out and you were saying that I never have to freaking get chemo done again. I'm getting out of here. And I guess your family members were out there for a surprise?
Yes.
So your husband arranged that?
He did. He did. And it was the most beautiful surprise. I mean, there was so many people there. It was such a beautiful moment walking around the corner and just seeing my people, all my people there mm-hmm. with posters and congratulating me. It was such a beautiful time. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So at any point after you got your chemo and before you actually got your results for what that chemo had done for you, was there ever a doubt in your mind that this may not have worked?
Oh, man. For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You thought that Absolutely. There was a possibility that Yeah.
You mean treatment wouldn't work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I still, like, I think about it every day, like, many times a day that, you know, and I don't even know about it being the treatment not working, but, like, you know, it coming back or taking, like, a really weird turn or something, and it grips you. Like, it snatches you out of, like, happy moments, and it just is like, no, right. You know, you have cancer.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you have any regrets?
I think that I'm gonna hang tight to what is supposed to be, and I can't take away from the experience by saying I wish that I regret, because I've learned so much about myself. I've grown so much. I've met so many beautiful humans like yourself. Like, I've mm-hmm. had so many amazing opportunities, and I've been broken, and I've been reborn, and I found my purpose, and all of this has happened in 4 months. Like, it's effing mm-hmm. crazy. So I can't say that I regret. I hope I'm alive. Like, I hope I fucking live until I'm 100, but... Yeah,
I hope so too. And let's be positive.
Yep.
You know, you've overcome so much. You didn't even know you were capable of, you know, the level of resiliency that you've shown. So never doubt yourself. I think that's pretty much, you know. So, you know, you said that you learned a lot. What was your greatest learning from this experience?
Just to be my damn self, like literally to be my own self and no one else. And I can like unapologetically do that. I don't have to stuff myself down like I used to. I can take up space and I can mm-hmm. dance and I can just be me. And that has been with learning that it just has opened so many doors for me. It is mm-hmm. just, it's been the most beautiful thing, really.
Mm-hmm. And after this entire experience, have you made any major lifestyle changes?
I have. I went plant-based. I do eat fish, like wild salmon specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, plant-based, no, like I don't really eat processed foods, no sugar, coffee, alcohol. Like it's been a major change. And I say that no coffee, but I had a coffee this morning, and I say no sugar, but my kid had a malt, and I was like taking like, I was like, just let me have a spoonful. And I'm like licking it, you know, like
yeah.
you can't, I'm not going to like not have a life while I'm fighting for my life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's has to be that grace for sure.
Right. Right. Yeah. So Aisha, you know, we're very close to the end now. But before we sign off, what advice do you have for individuals who've been recently diagnosed with cancer? You know, how can they manage their mental health better all through their journey? And is there anything that they can do in particular to make it easier or better overall?
Absolutely. I just have one piece of advice that I feel like covers everything. And that is that you have to find your power, and you have to find your power so that you can fight cancer and have power over it. And there's so many ways you can do that. And one of them is, you know, making a commitment to have positive emotions, positive thinking, like making an actual effort to every day try to be positive, try to be grateful. So working on your mental health, that's getting power over cancer, or supporting your body, with supplements. And, you know, I don't think that's for everybody. I think everybody has to do their own healing. But I do think that we can have power over cancer when we use supplements, because they give life back to the body. They support our major organs and make the fight a lot easier. And they, you know, they have so many benefits is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. So that's how another way you get power over cancer. Mm-hmm. Speaking to cancer, like, no, fuck cancer. Like, you don't have power over me, and making cancer feel as small as possible. I never want people to think that, like, we just have to lay down and die over it. Like, mm-hmm. we're stronger than that.
Yeah. So thank you for saying that. That's powerful. Aisha, thank you. I mean, it takes a lot to go down the memory lane and really talk about such experiences. You know, it's definitely not easy. So I really do appreciate you being so open and honest about your experience. And I wish you the best of luck for your surgery and for your recovery. And I'm positive that everything will go exactly how you want it to go. I am really excited to meet you actually in person and to have a good time once we're all freaking over this bloody pandemic and are vaccinated and all that stuff. And to all the listeners, again, thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time to tune in. Please subscribe to the podcast, drop a review. Your feedback is really important. And stick around, because I have a lot more in store for you. But hey, till then, chin up. Yeah.